We're going to start the service with a poem, so Brother George is going to read that for us.
You may have heard this one before. Johnny Cash did it a while back, called Ragged Old Flag. I walked through a country courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "Nah, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit. That's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. See, we got a little hole in that flag there. Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it writing, 'Say, can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Packingham and Jackson turning at seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on through. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shallow Hill. That was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea and Vietnam. She went there as she was sent by Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships on the briny foam, and now they're about quit waving her back here at home. In her own good land, there she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. She's getting threadbare and wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. She's been through the fire before, and I believe she could take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. Don't let her touch the ground. Fold her up tight. On second thought, I do like to brag, because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
All right, stand with us, please, as we sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Are we at 40? Okay. What's the first note? Thank you. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Good to see you back this evening. This morning we had, as you remember, we had two different services. Some of you we saw early, and some of you we saw later, and some of you we didn't see at all. So good to see you here tonight. And again, don't forget to continue to pray for Brother Nichols, Mrs. Nichols, and then again, Mrs. Plumstead, Mrs. Garcia, Mrs. Mayo, our older folks have not been coming. And then Mrs. Garcia has been in a lot of pain with her legs and feet and ankles and stuff lately. So keep her in prayer. My wife is also sick. If you keep her in prayer, we'd appreciate that as well. Father, we ask you to continue to bless here at Liberty as we do every service. I know that every service we ask you for your help and your blessing and your presence. And Father, we do that again tonight because we need that. We don't want to meet without you. We don't want to have a service without your help. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with our loved ones that are home that can't make it tonight. Lord, as they watch on, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them there. Help them know that we love them and we think about them and we're praying for them. And Lord, especially be with Preacher and Cindy. I pray, Lord, you'd help them to get well and bring them back to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remain standing as we sing the sweet by and by. And by faith we can sit afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
You may be seated. Do we have a man with a microphone tonight? Once you round one up, we'll see if anyone has a blessing real quick. So right now, you have to do it off air. The folks at home will not be able to hear you, but the rest of us will. So we'll start over on this side, since we usually start over here. Anyone over here with a blessing? God's been good to you this week. Something to praise the Lord about. Anybody? All right, we don't want to mess with you. Unblessed crowd anyway. Oh, Mrs. Wall, let's go right ahead. Good. Brother Howard?
I'm just thankful that when you follow God's will, God will put things at rest for you.
Good. Anyone in this section? Don't be shy, Brother Prado, and then we'll go to the back. Start down front, and we'll work our way back.
In our family.
Good. All right, anyone else? I saw another hand, but I don't know who it was. Oh, Brother Yala.
I just want to thank everybody for praying for me, and I just thank especially Brother Block. He called me almost every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, checking on.
Because I had nothing better to do.
And I appreciate all the text messages and phone calls that really encouraged me a lot. And I just thank Liberty Baptist Church, all the people. And I'm waiting to see my preacher to come be able to preach for us.
That's going to be a good day. No, really, during that time, I just didn't want you to think that we had forgotten you. So that's why I tried to call you and let you know that we loved you. All right, Mrs. Glard on the back, bub.
Thank you. I just want to thank my church. I love everybody very much. And I think we have the best church ever. Please pray for a young man that I got to witness to at HEB. He carried my groceries in, and he's Catholic, and I explained to him how religion doesn't get you to heaven but Jesus Christ. And he says, wow, I didn't know that. And I said, well, promise me you'll read. His name is Nathaniel, so if you can pray for him, that'd be great.
Good. Anyone else in this section before we leave you? All right, over here, anyone in this section? Mrs. Reese?
I'm thankful that Tim Taylor was traveling with Michael and Rachel when they broke down last week. And then praise the Lord that they were able to get their Denali fixed for $400.
That's wow. I was going to ask you if they got another car, because I knew the last prayer request I had was pray that as they buy a new car. So getting that one fixed for $400 is much cheaper than a new car. Yes. Mrs. Cool has had her hand up right down front. Slick.
I just thank the Lord for the blessing of his word. But I ask you all to pray. The flea market is closed down, so we can't have the soul winning booth. And I'm just praying that people find that copy of John and Romans or a tract that has been given to them, because a lot of people out there are in fear, especially my sister Becky in Florida. She's living in fear.
Okay. Anyone over here? Anyone over there? Brother Castillo down front.
I'm thankful to live in America.
Yeah. Anyone else? Do you want to miss anyone? All right. Thank you, Slick. Appreciate it. Oh, Brother Wallace. He just wanted to see you run.
I know we'll all be thankful when Brother Nichols gets back, but I'm also thankful for we have a lot of men, good preachers to stand in the gap and fill that spot while he's out. I really enjoyed that message this morning on Samuel. It was I never heard it from that point of view, but that was good.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thanks, Slick. Appreciate it. A couple announcements. Don't forget, now, Wednesday night we'll have our regular service at 7:30. No soul winning, no Sunday school, none of that stuff yet. We were going to kick it all in today. We was going to start Sunday school, and we weren't going to run the bus, but we was going to do Sunday school. But because of the upswing in the coronavirus, we put that off for a while. And we've tried to protect everybody as much as we can. And I know that, again, I did not realize we had such varied opinions till I started trying to decide, you know, what, I mean, Brother Nichols had told me to go back to live streaming, but he said talk to the deacons and see what they think first, and we all wanted to keep the services open, so we wanted to be able to meet with you folks here, but we're also trying to keep you safe. And as I said this morning, some of you think we should be wrapped in some kind of bubble, and others, you know, don't care at all. So we've been trying to meet somewhere in the middle and try to keep our elderly folks as safe as possible. And there is, Bexar County is one of the hot spots. I realize that when we say a hotspot, it's not, you know, again, I don't know how many. I didn't check today to see how many hospital beds were empty, but most of the beds in the last few days have been full at most hospitals. Sometimes that's true anyway. Some of you know when Albert was trying to get in the hospital, it took them a while to find a bed for him. So, I mean, and my wife has stayed in the emergency room before for 6, 8, 10 hours waiting for a bed to come open in some hospital. So it's not that they're not normally pretty full. Sometimes they are anyway, but this has put an added burden and tax upon our hospitals and the healthcare workers. So we're trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to decide. I'll let you know in a little bit. We've had kind of a mixed opinion of whether to have two services next week or not. What we did this morning, we had one group come in at 10 and then be gone by 10:45, 10:50, and the other group came in at 11. But in the second service, we only had about 30 people, so we were pretty spread out. If you could figure, let's see, about this many people spread out over the whole auditorium, that's how the second service was, so it was pretty thin. I don't have a problem preaching to those folks because of the fact that I can still see fairly well, I try to look at everybody and see everybody, we're trying to figure out whether we can just get everybody. We want to do the social distancing. We're going to do the temperature check, and again, I've had folks fuss at me about the temperature check, and again, I don't know why that's a big deal. It's one of those things that, again, one more thing that we're trying to do to help protect all of our loved ones. And again, I care a lot about Brother Yala, and I care about Brother Rees, and he has health issues, and I care about, and again, that's just some. I know Mrs. Perry and some of the rest of you have some. I know Brother Sanders has some. So, I mean, we worry about, and again, we have some young folks like little Matthew. Is Matthew here tonight? There he is. Little Matthew has issues. So, I mean, it's not just our elderly that we're trying to protect. So I know some of you don't see the reasons for masks. And again, I hate masks more than you do. It steams my glasses up. I walk with steamed up glasses and walk into things, fall over stuff. So, I mean, you trust me, mask is a danger to the blind guy. I don't like mask any more than you do, but we're trying to do what we can to protect each other from any of the sickness. And again, because you can have it and not know you have it is what makes it so scary. I mean, someone could feel healthy today and then get tested 3 days from now and had it, and you could have passed it to other people, to someone that might not be as healthy as you. So that's why we make such a big fuss about it and we worry so much about it. But again, I told you from the very beginning, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus because worst thing happened to me is I die and go to heaven. Now, I'm not ready to go right now. If the Lord lets me live another 20 or 30 or 40 years, I'm tickled pink. If he takes me tomorrow, I'm glad to go too. So I'm fine with whatever the Lord decides about my life. But I'm not trying to hurry your trip. So, I mean, by getting you sick. So I don't want to speed your time along. But I'll let you know that in a little bit. We may have you sign up after the service, but I'll let you know at the end. But don't forget to be back in your place at 7:30 for tonight. Keep Brother Nichols, Wednesday night, keep Brother Nichols in prayer, Mrs. Nichols in prayer. Mrs. Plumstead's been fine, said, let you know that she misses y'all, and especially Sunday school. She really loves Brother Taylor's Sunday school class. I keep telling him she loves his Sunday school class. And again, this morning, the folks have stayed home. I know my wife said YouTube wasn't a problem this morning, Charlie. I know last week it was an issue with some. My wife said YouTube did great today. I don't know if anyone else told you anything, but YouTube was fine for my wife. Last week, we had some folks that had it die out a time or two, and the week before, it cut off completely some. So we've had little issues with YouTube and even some with the live streaming. But just pray for our folks that are home. We have several folks at home that still haven't came to one service since this all started. And you and I have been able to come to several services. It was good to see Brother Haynes this morning. He was back this morning. Hadn't seen him for several months. But again, good to see you back. Don't want you to, and again, if you need something, I'm not calling. The only ones I'm typically calling now is I'm calling the older folks that don't come to church, because most of you I see here, and I figure if you need something, you'll say something. But if you do need something, or you're having trouble getting something, if you'll call me, we have folks in the church that have been, when this was going on, they went out and went shopping. I mean, one time when I mentioned here that we needed eggs and toilet paper, Mitchell went out the next morning and went shopping for like 4 or 5 or 6 hours. Hit stores all over town and covered, I mean, all sections of town. Picked up toilet paper, milk, eggs, rice, and I mean, brought in a bunch of stuff and put it in the fridge, and we kept it for weeks and gave it out as needed. So we do have folks that want to be a blessing to you. So if you're stuck without something, you don't need to be. Don't be bullheaded. Don't be too proud to call us and let us know, and we'd be glad to help you with whatever it is. I still have toilet paper in my bathtub from the last toilet paper scare, because I was getting it. I was going to HEB and getting it on the, what do you call it, that when you go pick it up? The curbside. We was ordering curbside, like at one on Petrankle and one at Marbach each week. So, and then some weeks we'd get no toilet paper from either one of them. Some weeks we'd get toilet paper from both of them. And so I still have toilet paper. So if you need toilet paper, I have lots, and I have 50 pounds of chicken. When they talked about the meat scare, someone called me and said it's going to get hard to get meat. So I went out and bought 50 pounds of chicken and put it in the freezer. We've got chicken and toilet paper. So you don't have to worry about those two things. I mean, you may not have any. And by the way, you know, I think we had a 50 pound bag of rice that nobody used. So we do have stuff if you need it, or if you can't get it, call us. And again, especially if you're not supposed to get out, and some of you are not supposed to be out and about, please stay home and let us know, and we'll get someone to do the shopping for you. Thank you.
All right, stand again, please. We're singing I'm Standing on the Solid Rock.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, no matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages.
Brother Perry's coming, for he does. I want to read this. Brother Perry just said to tell you all thank you for your expression of love to his brother and his family during this time. Also, if you... many of you probably received one personally. For all of you that did not, this is from the church, and it is mentioning, I think there's someone else graduating too, right? Okay, yeah, I thought there was two graduations, but Mr. Samuel, who didn't give us a graduation announcement, will get thrown in on this one. But they're having a graduation service July the 28th at what time? 7 o'clock, July the 28th. And so Melanie Suttmeyer has invited all of you and us to the service. And Sam decided he would too, but that is, Brother Ross is coming to speak, correct? Brother Ross is going to be the speaker that night, so that's a Tuesday night, if you're wondering, and he'll be coming. That's a couple, I think it's 2 weeks from this Tuesday, I believe, but again, the 28th. So again, don't forget your tithes and offerings. Be faithful to that during this time.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us, for all your blessings for our nation. We thank you for this church and these people. Pray, Father, you be with those that are sick and those that are staying home. Lord, we ask you to bless and take care of them. That's this offering we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand again. We're going to sing about being born again. You may think it foolish what I'm going to say. I'm not ashamed, no, not ashamed. One day I pray, Jesus, take my sin away. And that's when I was born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I have been born again. One man came to Jesus, John in chapter 3, and so afraid. Oh, so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, be born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. Be seated.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy, whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we still strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then indeed be free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we shall be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers we will love, both friend and foe, in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Psalms 37 in your Bible, Psalms 37. I mentioned this morning that I will be speaking tonight on character and respect for our elders. It didn't hit me till a few months ago. I was at a doctor's office, and because of the coronavirus, they have limited chairs. And a young, I don't remember if it was a young lady or a young lad, stood up and asked if I wanted to have a seat. Usually I'm the one doing that, so it just kind of struck me funny, and I turned him down because there was a place for my wife to sit, but there wasn't a place for me, and I just thought, I guess I'm old when folks offer you their seats. So, which is what this verse says. Notice in your Bible, Psalm chapter 37, notice verse 25. I have been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. By the way, Bible truth we're not going to speak on is, again, if you've been saved for any length of time, you are young and you've seen God provide your needs. You're old, and guess what? God's still doing, providing your needs. God will take care of you and provide your needs. James in your Bibles, James chapter 4, James chapter 4, notice verse 14. Again, talking about how short life is. Verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Again, life is short, but in dealing with elderly, and again, all of us will reach that stage at one time in our life, unless we die early, as some have. My brother died in his 40s, so he never reached elderly. We've had folks here that died before they reached, we've had some in their teenage years, some in their 20s and 30s. But again, if nature takes its normal course and nothing out of the ordinary happens, most of us will grow old someday. The question I posed this morning was, would you want to be treated by someone someday the way you've treated the elderly? Now, if you treat the elderly correctly, then that means, by the way, first off, you're going to be treated correctly because the Bible promises you will reap what you sow. So I'm a big believer. That's one of the reasons I do some of the stuff that I do, is because I realize it will come back to me. I've said this before. I'll never sit alongside the highway very long without someone stopping helping me. That's because I've stopped many times and helped people that have stopped along the highway. And again, I'm a big believer that the biblical principle of reaping, sowing and reaping isn't just something that has to do with garden. It has to do with our acts and actions that we have in our Christian life. But tonight we want to speak about character and respect of the elderly. And I can tell you, the United States does not teach young people to respect the elderly like most other countries, especially in the Middle East. In the eastern countries, the Indian. Now, going back to the Indians, when I say Indians, I'm not talking about the people from India, but the Indians, they called all the elderly grandfather and grandmother. The elders were respected to pass down their knowledge. That's why they sat around many times in the evening and spoke around the campfire, and they passed on knowledge, whether it was knowledge of battles, knowledge of hunts, knowledge of other things, knowledge of herbs, but they passed on their knowledge to the young people. They were respected for their wisdom and life experiences. In Korea, the young have a duty to care for the aging members of the family. They're taught, even outside of the family, to respect and show deference to the older individuals as well as authority figures. In China, they traditionally view piety and respect to one's elders as the highest virtue. Placing your parents in a retirement home will get you labeled as an uncaring or a bad son or daughter. To abandon one's family is considered deeply dishonorable. And again, they consider themselves a very honorable people. In India, not the Indians now, but in India, elders are the head of the family. Advice is always sought from them on a wide range of issues. Their word is final in settling disputes. During the Roman time, they made use of their elderly and had faith in their wisdom and experience. And again, for there is assuredly nothing dearer to a man than wisdom, and though age takes away all else, takes away many of the other things that we can do, undoubtedly it brings us that. Age usually brings wisdom. A strong nation who respects their aged will stay a strong nation. America is falling apart today as a direct result of improper treatment of our aged. Corporations force elderly into retirement. You say, well, what purpose do they have? I don't know if you've noticed, folks who have worked a job for a long time can show you shortcuts of how to do the job much easier than someone who first comes on the job. And by the way, if you're the new kid on the job, shut your mouth, open your ears, and you'll find out how to do it much quicker than if you act like you know everything and are always talking. But again, their experience makes a big difference. We need to learn from their experience and their wisdom. And I can say this personally, I have learned some of the most wonderful lessons of life while I've enjoyed fellowshipping with the lonely and the elderly. Now, I said lonely because many of the elderly are lonely because, again, they don't get a lot of visits many times from their relatives and friends. My parents taught me at a very young age, and it's something I've tried to pass on to the young people. I appreciate that Tatiana had learned this. She said that one of the things that I taught her was to care for the elderly. I didn't know. I tried to teach that, but I don't always know who gets it and who doesn't. But my dad and mom used to take me to a nursing home. My dad was not a preacher. My mom would bake cookies and make cupcakes. My dad would take us to the nursing home, and we'd go into that nursing home and walk up and down the halls and visit with people. My dad would have a service, not called of God, but would bring a Bible service to those folks at a nursing home on a regular basis. My dad cared for many elderly. We've repaired many a roof, fixed many appliances, fixed toilets and lights and things like that, usually for no money, sometimes it was just, I mean, they might do something for my dad, makes my dad something or give my dad something, but many times we did it for nothing because dad was a big believer in taking care of the elderly. Now, I can tell you that there has been experiences that I have saved myself some heartache because of the fact that I had listened to someone older than I, and I learned from their mistakes so that I didn't have to make the same mistakes that myself. But the Bible says much about this group, especially widows. Notice in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 23, there was a misuse of widows in the Bible, and it came to God's notice. He actually spent several verses, but the two we'll look at tonight, he's fussing at these folks for doing this. Matthew chapter 23, notice verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Now notice what they did. They devoured widows' houses. Now, they basically would make loans or would call the loans in when these elderly folks could not pay the money, and they did that because that was good business practice. And by the way, sometimes a good business practice is not always a good Bible practice or a good Christian practice. Mark chapter 12, verse 40 says, "Which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation." Notice he talked about not just damnation, but greater damnation. What it means is God said, you know what? I'm really bothered by the fact that you're devouring widows' houses. There have been many bankers through the years that took advantage of the hard times that people fell upon. And many times what happened, again, I remember I hunted for years at a little farm out in Uvalde. I would go out there, and they leased their land to some lawyers in Houston. But when they weren't hunting, they allowed me to go out and shoot a doe. At that time, I didn't own any property. I had knocked doors. I did it the hard way. I went out on a Saturday, and I knocked doors for 8 hours, asking farmers if I can hunt. And then the next Saturday, I went out and knocked doors for 8 hours till I found someone that said, you know what, if you want to come, you can shoot a doe for $50. So, again, that was much cheaper than any other hunts. He says, I'll have it leased out. You can't shoot bucks, but I have it leased out. And so I went that year and shot a doe. He knew I was. I talked to him about the Lord. He knew I was a teacher here. Next year, he said, do you have any other folks at your church that can use some deer? And I said, sure. He said, shoot as many does as you want. And so then the next year, I went back, and he said, I'm sorry, I can't let you hunt. I lost all my land to the taxes because of the fact that, and some of you know how farmers do that, they can't pay their taxes. The state will take their farm and sell their farm. He kept the home site and the house, but he lost all the rest of his land. And that happens a lot, especially to the elderly that don't always pay attention to all the little details and the things that the stuff that comes through the mail. And they don't always realize that the house isn't always yours. It's yours and the state. And the state wants their part. I mean, there isn't, you say, when can I quit paying taxes to the state? I don't know if there is time. Maybe there is. Maybe there's a certain age that you can get to that you don't have to pay taxes. I don't know. Is there a certain time you don't have to pay house taxes? I don't think through this. So the truth is you never truly own your house. Even if you own your house, the state still expects a certain part of it. And if you get a year or two behind, they'll take the house away from you and you'll be, you're out on the street. But that's what was happening in the Bible times. And Jesus and God said, you know what? You're going to not only going to get damnation, you're going to get a greater damnation. I mean, I'm going to really lower the boom on you because they were taking advantage of widows. So again, widows are mentioned in the Bible there. They're also mentioned when we talk and go into Acts chapter 6, when we talk of why we actually had the first deacons in the church. The church folks were concerned because the widows were not being taken care of, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. What was happening was the widows, some of them were going without. They had stuff that was breaking down. They needed some food. They needed someone to help them with things, and they weren't being taken care of. And again, in that day, that was a big deal. So that was one of the first deacons' job was to make sure the widows were taken care of. And again, I appreciate the fact that our deacons care about our church members like they should. That's the kind of deacons you want, is deacons that actually are concerned about the church and not just their position or their station. But that was, again, concern for widows. Widows are mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Notice verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. So again, he told us to make sure that we honor them. And when we think of honor, is hold them in high esteem. Treat them as something that is precious. Now think about that, something that's precious. James says that pure religion and undefiled in James chapter 1, verse 27, James chapter 1, verse 27, he says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now he says, I want you to stay clean. On top of staying clean, I want you to care for the fatherless. Now, that's one of the reasons I'm glad Liberty Baptist Church runs buses, so that we can care for young people who sometimes their parents don't necessarily care for them, especially when it comes to their spiritual needs. Some of them take care of their physical needs, their clothes and their shoes and their food, but they don't care that much. They don't take care of their spiritual needs. And by the way, those young people have a great spiritual need. And if we can get a young person saved at 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years old, many of them will stay out of some of the sins that they would have gotten into and some of the hardships that they'd have got into if they had not been saved. So again, he said, pure religion and undefiled is that we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So tonight for just a few moments, and my introduction was half of the time, but tonight for just a few moments, we want to look at 4 or 5 points as far as respecting of our elders. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, as we finish this thought tonight, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us that we might realize how important the elderly are, how precious they are, and Lord, that we might hold them in high esteem. And for those of us that are getting to be elderly, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize we still have a function. We still have a purpose. We still have a reason to be here. We're not just taking up space and killing time, but Lord, if you had no reason for us to be here, you'd take us home. You're not a waster of any. You teach against waste in the Bible. So if it's our time, if we have no purpose here, you would take us home to heaven to spend eternity with you. But because we're still here, it means there's still stuff for us to do. And I pray, Lord, you help us find out what that is and do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know who Brother Barnes was. Brother Barnes and I had a special relationship. For years, my children and I mowed his yard, and then we became family. He ceased to be just one of my customers, and he was a church member at Liberty Baptist Church, but then he became a friend as well and a wise counselor, one of my counselors. I enjoyed Brother Barnes. Brother Barnes had been an old farmer before, so he taught me several things about farming. I grew up in Missouri. Missouri is different than Texas, by the way. The grasses are different. The crops are different. The land is different. The cattle are different. If I had 45 acres, my dad had 45 acres and had 15 to 20 cows and had plenty of grass. I've got 45 acres and have 10 cows and have no grass. So that's because in Missouri, I always tell people, one of these days when I grow up, I want a field. I look out over someone's field that's all full of grass and not mesquite and all the brush. And I always say, when I grow up, I want a field just like that. I'm grown up and I still haven't got a field just like that. But we don't have the same type of grazing here that we do in Missouri. And in Texas, everything has thorns. And so sometimes even for the cows to eat something, we have to take care of the thorns for them. Otherwise, they end up with them sticking all. If you come out and check my cows out, sometimes they have the prickly pear thorns all over their face where they've reached in to eat the prickly pear and got it all over there, got them stuck in their face. But again, Brother Barnes was a friend. He enjoyed driving. So many times on a Sunday afternoon when I finished up church here, I would go to his house at least once a month. And he always used as an excuse that his car needed to be driven, so it kept the battery up. So he had kept a car, kept it in the garage, and we would go. I would take him in his car, help him get in. He always had trouble with his feet, would swell up to about, his legs would be about that big, and his feet would be great big, so I'd help him get his feet in, and then we'd drive. Sometimes we'd drive out to where his wife had been buried. He just wanted to drive and park by the road so he could see the tombstone. Sometimes we'd drive out by the lake. He knew all the flowers, all the wild flowers. To me, that's a purple one, and that's a red one, and that's a green one, but he could tell you what they were. He could tell you all the different flowers. He knew all of them. And he would say, I sold that guy 20 heifers. And I sold that, I mean, because he would buy stuff at Dallas. He'd buy stuff at Houston. He'd buy stuff at San Antonio at the auctions. And then he'd put ads in the paper and resell them. And that's how he made a living for several years. But he would, as we'd drive by places, he would say, I sold that guy this livestock. And I sold this fellow these. And I enjoyed my time with him. And again, he was such a blessing to my children. He was like another grandpa. Again, my parents live in Missouri, and my wife's relatives lived in Kansas. So Brother Barnes was like a grandpa to my children. He was a blessing to my kids and a help to my kids. But again, the fact that I had some time to spend with him was a big blessing to me. If you have an older person that's kin, spend time with them. If you don't have one, there are plenty that you can adopt. And by the way, they won't mind you adopting them. They won't mind you spending time with them. If you have no place better, and again, right now you can't go to the nursing home. But the truth is, if you have some, you want to be a blessing someday, just make up a batch of cookies and head to the nursing home. Or don't take anything. And just if you just show up, if you have a child or a grandchild, take them. They'll enjoy seeing them much more than they'll enjoy seeing you. But they'll enjoy seeing anybody. I've had nursing home people tell me, I remember it was one of the saddest stories I'd ever heard. We sang for some folks and visited some folks one night. And the lady said, that's the first visit that lady's had since she'd been here. And I asked her how many years she'd been there. It had been 3 or 4 years. That was the first visit that she'd had from other than doctors and nurses and things like that. That's to me, that's very, very heartbreaking to think that someone could be there for years and nobody come by to see them. But Brother Barnes, the reason I mentioned Brother Barnes, I used to go by and I said, Brother Barnes, how you doing? And he said, oh, Brother Block, don't make me lie to you. It's tough. That's what he'd say. It's tough. It's not any fun getting old. His wife had already passed. He had had a lot of illnesses. We thought he'd be the one to pass first. His wife passed first. He was still there. And he said, Brother Block, it's tough. I don't know why the Lord don't take me. And I'd always respond quickly and say, Brother Barnes, I can tell you why he don't take you. I need you. And again, I appreciated his wisdom. Some of you know that he was kind of blunt. If you sang and sounded bad, he would tell you. He has told some of our groups, why don't we just visit? Why don't you just stop singing? And he's even told me sometimes after you left, he'd go, I don't know who it was, but somebody, boy, they sounded bad. Just next time he said, can you send someone else? That's what he'd say. Can you send a different group by? And so sometimes I'd tell the group, just go by and visit tonight. He doesn't want you to sing. And I didn't tell you at that time that he said, please don't let him sing because he sounded terrible. But I'm not sure it was that sang off key. I think it was Kurt, but I'm not for sure. I'm just joking. I don't remember who it was that was visiting. But Brother Barnes loved to have visits. Brother Barnes would always pass out candy. Brother Barnes would always, I mean, sometimes he'd give us money to go buy donuts afterwards. He'd say, Brother Block, take all the folks by Dunkin' Donuts and buy donuts. And he'd give us money to buy donuts. Brother Barnes really enjoyed the visits. But again, when he would say, I don't know why I'm here, I'd say, God's not a waster. God doesn't make a mistake. If you're still breathing, God has a purpose for you. And by the way, one of his purposes was to be a help and a blessing to me, and I believe he was a help and blessing to others as well. But again, if you're an older person and you're still alive and you're wondering why in the world am I still alive, it's because God has a purpose for you. That gray hair it tells a story. It tells of knowledge and experience that you can pass on, and by the way, that you should pass on to those younger than you. Let me give you 5 quick things tonight about respecting our elders. Number one, go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. We'll read the first part, then we'll read the second part for point number 2. But Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32a makes this statement. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Now, the Bible is not necessarily always thought of as a book of etiquette, but in this case, it's a book of etiquette. What it teaches is young people should stand in the presence of the elderly. Stand to honor them. Stand to give them your seat if they need a seat. By the way, this would go for young men or women. It doesn't matter your age and your sex in this case. If there's an elderly person. Now, many elderly people will not take your seat. I've seen elderly men stand and let the lady have their seat. By the way, they showed, again, sometimes they could hardly stand. But because they were still men, they refused to take a seat and they let the lady have the seat. But I've been places where a bunch of young folks were sitting down and a bunch of old folks were standing up. Now, not if they was under any of my control. I have called people out and fussed at people and made people feel about that small because they were still sitting on their butt while some older person was standing up. That should never happen in your presence or my presence. We should make sure that we always honor the elderly. Again, give the seat to the elderly. Guys and men, give your seat to the ladies. It is still the right thing to do. Even if you wasn't a Christian, it's still the right thing to do. And the manly thing to do is to give your seat to the lady. But all of us should be concerned about the elderly. Again, respect the elderly. Stand when they enter. Number two, notice the second part of that verse. It says this, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the last part, and honor the face of the old men, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. The second thing we should do is we should honor the older people. It said honor them. And again, when we talk about honor, it has to do with realizing that they are a precious possession. A precious possession. They have great value. The elderly are of great value. Now, sometimes in America especially, and that's one of the reasons this coronavirus bothered me more than the fact that it was the virus, the fact that it attacked the elderly bothered me the most. And it bothered me that some folks didn't mind that the elderly were dying. I'm a big believer that the elderly have a purpose. Say, Brother Blocker, you don't understand. They've lived a long life, and now they're just costing the state money. Now, listen to me. They made a lot of money and paid the state a lot of money while they lived. They built the roads you and I drive on. They built some of the bridges. They paid taxes to build the bridges you and I drive across. They built, many of them paid the taxes years ago to help build the cities we live in. It's high time that we realize, though their prime may be past, they paid their dues. And they have the right now to sit back and relax and take it easy. And if need be, have us take care of them. But again, they have great value. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Again, that's someone that's over you. That thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4 says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Again, understand, the reason he tells us to honor our parents is because they're our parents and also because they're the authority figure over us. Now, he tells us to honor them, and then he also tells us that there's a promise if we do honor them. I appreciate the fact that God gives us a bonus for doing right. You do what you're supposed to do, God says, I'll give you long life. Now, keep in mind, though, if you live a long time and you did not treat the elderly correctly, you're going to be an old person someday because you obeyed your parents and honored your parents and you got that benefit. And now you're old and you're mistreated because you mistreated the elderly. Because again, you will reap what you sow. Care for the elderly. Spend some time with them. Maybe spend less time with your peers who are talking nonsense and stupidity and uselessness. Have you ever listened to teenagers' conversation? Honestly. You listen to 20 or 30 years old people's conversation sometimes. And by the way, it's just about as useless as the teenager's conversation. At the end, when you pile it all in a big pile and wad it up, it's like paper. It wads up. It's pretty small. Not much of value. Not much of things being done or things to be accomplished or things like that. Usually silly stuff about their clothes or their hair or something else. But again, we want to make sure that we treat the elderly with great value. I have always appreciated the fact that Brother Nichols would let me sometimes go out to eat with preachers when he would have people here. All I usually did was just sit and listened. I listened when Brother Coral spoke. I listened when Brother Howell spoke. I listened when Brother Nichols spoke. Again, I listened. I was trying to learn from them because they're elderly. Again, if you get a chance to go on a fishing trip or a hunting trip, you get the chance to take them for a drive. Brother Barnes loved to go for a drive. Maybe it's just take them to the store, take them to the doctor's office. Before Mrs. Holland's death, I was taking her to the doctor. She had leukemia. So on a Saturday, we'd spend about 8 hours at the hospital while she got a blood transfusion. That was one of the ways that they helped prolong her life. They would run her blood out and do something to it and then run it back in. But again, spend some time with them. By the way, it might even be that you can be there at their death. That was one of the requests Mrs. Holland asked. She said, please don't let me die alone. She did not want to be alone when she died, and she was not. My wife and I was there. Number three, we want to make sure that we see the real beauty in the elderly. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of the young men is their strength. Okay, young men have strength. The beauty of the old men is their gray head. So again, you say, but Block, why don't you dye your hair? This is a crown. This isn't something to be ashamed. This isn't, and this is also well earned. Jessica did this. Kurt did this. Al did this. Hector did this. Roy and Suzanne did this. Christina did this. So it's well earned. Not really. Most of them were really big blessings. But the truth is, again, that gray hair, that's your beauty, elderly folks. That's your crown. Your life will be more beautiful if you learn some lessons from the elderly young folks. No matter what your age is, there's always going to be someone that's older than you that you can learn from. There's always going to be a Brother Barnes or a Brother Elliot, a dad or a grandpa or a grandma or a mom, someone like that, someone that you can learn from. Again, I've learned so many things from Brother Elliot. And by the way, not just the electrical and the fixing things, the conversations that we had while we were fixing stuff. I mean, the things you learn just while you're learning to do a trade or while you're learning to fix something, they're talking. They're passing on knowledge. That's one of the reasons I've tried to take people out and show them how to make sausage or show them how to do a garden. Sean and I worked on the garden, and Sean realized gardens are a lot of hard work. He kept saying, Brother Block, let's plan the garden. And then later it's like, Brother Block, whose idea was this to plan the garden? But it was his, by the way. But the truth is, you can learn a lot from conversation, spending some time with them. Number four, we are to see the royalty of the older folks. Notice Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 says, The hoary head is a crown of glory. Again, think of that. That is your crown. I mean, our older men and women, they're kings and queens. Your grandpa and grandma, they're kings and queens. Treat them as such. You could buy your mom or dad when you get older. When mom and dad get older and you're working a job, you can buy mom and dad a chair. I remember one of our church folks said their young people bought them a bunch of furniture, bought their dad a chair. You know what that was? That was his throne. They bought dad a throne. Some of those thrones are pretty nice. Some of them have all kinds of levers. Now, the bad thing about those old folks, sometimes we have no idea what the levers do. We don't know which levers to push. You find us, we're upside down trying to figure out how to get right side back up. But the truth is, his young people bought him a throne. They bought him a chair. Again, ask yourself, do I give my parents and grandparents the honor, the dignity that they deserve? And you should. And then the last thing, and I'll be through. We are to care for the older people and meet their needs. Ruth chapter 4, verse 15 says, And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Now, a young man was born, and you know what that grandson did for her? Made her life worth living again. She had came back from, she said, I went away full, which was not her original attitude. I went away full, but I came back what? Empty. But then a grandson came along. You know what that grandson done? That grandson was a restorer of her life. How many of you have grandkids today? I can tell you, you know what grandkids are? Grandkids are the restorer of life. They're the gift that we receive after the punishment of putting up with you as our own children. They're the good part. Now, honestly, I enjoyed my kids too, but I can tell you grandkids are a lot more fun. And again, for some reason, as older people, we've learned some stuff not near as important as it was when we were raising our kids. We've learned some other stuff that's far more important than we did when we was raising kids. For some reason, grandparents and kids get along a lot better than parents and kids. For those of you that are not taking advantage of your grandparents, and you should, your grandparents confess at your kids, where with you, they'll be rebellious. With grandma and grandpa, they'll listen. Grandma and grandpa, there's just something about grandmas and grandpas. Grandmas and grandpas can teach lessons, and they are learned. Where mom and dad, it's almost like we have to hold them down and give them that spoonful of medicine. They kick and scream. Grandparents have that ability, have that gift. Grandparents have the patience that sometimes as parents we don't. I can tell you sometimes as a parent, those times that I was impatient. As a grandparent, I'm much more patient than I was before. Now, and I can tell you, when I don't see the grandkids, when they're not around, I really miss them. Now, you say, Brother Block, most of you know Emily and Haley lived with us for a while. Emily was persistent in believing that she could become a cow. She could go out and hang out with the cows. I'd find her out in the round bell feeder. And again, my cows are pretty friendly anyway, but she'd convinced herself if she went out there and spent time with them, she could become one with the cows or something. And so I'd say, Emily, get in here. And she'd be out there walking around the cows. And she said, Grandpa, they like me. They know me. I'm one of them. And I said, No, you're not. You get in here if you get run over by one of the cows that you're trying to become one with. That 1,000-pound cow runs over that 40-pound girl. There's not going to be a good result. But she loved, and I don't always have to tell them, girls, there's all kinds of the scorpions and there's snakes and there's bad stuff out there. Stop wandering, because we'd step outside and it was, where's the girls? And we'd holler. I'm sure you guys have never had to do this. We'd holler and we'd holler and we'd holler. And then finally from the pond or from out in the brush somewhere, they'd come running. And I'd say, I told you not to go around the brush. Then they would usually, first they'd try to lie unless they knew I knew where they came from. But I wasn't. I said, no. I heard you giggling and playing. You were a long ways away. But I can tell you, they just as this young man gave Naomi back some life, young people can be a blessing to your grandparents. So if you have kids, make sure grandma and grandpa get to spend some time with them. Make sure grandma and grandpa get to share their wisdom with them. Make sure they get to, and again, grandma and grandpa, the other thing we have that sometimes we didn't have as parents, we actually have a buck or two. So sometimes we can buy ice cream, or we can go out after church and get a Happy Meal. You know how many Happy Meals my kids got when they were kids? Very few. My grandkids don't get a lot, but I do buy one from time to time for my grand. And if I don't buy a Happy Meal, I at least buy them whatever else, and then I'll pay the $1.99 or 99 cents to get the toy because they won the toy. Or we'll just drop by and get ice cream after church. And it's a big deal to them. By the way, it's also a big deal to me. I like being a blessing to my grandkids. And by the way, they are also a blessing to me. So you can be a need filler. You can cut grass. You can be transportation to the doctors, to the grocery store, to church. You can be company for them. You can ask them questions and listen to them. And by the way, you'll be surprised what you will learn. By the way, then you'll also be guaranteed that one of these days when you grow old, you won't grow old and lonely. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize how important and precious the older folks at Liberty Baptist Church are. Lord, we want to take care of them. We love them.
Hello, friend. I'm Brother Nichols. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church here in San Antonio. We're located at 7421 Marbach Road, and I wanted to give you my personal invitation to come and be with us and visit us during any of the services. We have our Sunday school is at 9:45 on Sunday morning. It's followed immediately at 10:50 by the Sunday morning preaching service. Then at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, we have the evening service. And then at 7:30 on Wednesday night, our midweek Bible study. And we invite you to come and be with us for any of these services that you can. We sing the old hymns, the old gospel songs. We major on the teaching and the preaching of the 1611 King James Bible. And we'd love to have you come and visit with us. But whether you can visit with us or not, the most important thing is to know that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. So let me, if I might, just share the gospel, a quick, simple presentation of the gospel message. The Bible teaches, first of all, that all of us are sinners. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, every human being, is a sinner. That's me, that's you, that's every one of us, dear friend. And the Bible teaches that because we're sinners, we owe the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That includes physical death, and it also includes what Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 refer to as the second death, which is the lake of fire. It means that if I have to pay the penalty for my own sin, I'll have to die and spend eternity in this terrible place called the lake of fire, paying on my sin debt. But the good news of the gospel is that though I'm a sinner and owe this sin debt, that sin debt was paid for me and for you, dear friend, by the Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood and died on Calvary's cross. In Romans 6:23, the same verse that says, "For the wages of sin is death," goes on and says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So eternal life, salvation, heaven, is a gift from God. It's something that God gives to us freely. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough to deserve it. We cannot do anything for it. But God gives it to us freely, eternal life, through, the scripture said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the reason that God can give us this gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus is because the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt for us when he died on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, I'm a sinner. I owe the wages of sin, which is death. Jesus was not a sinner. Therefore, he did not owe the penalty for sin, death, but he died anyway, and in dying, he paid the debt that he did not owe, but the debt that I owe, that you owe, that all of us as human beings owe, because we're sinners. Jesus paid the debt for us. Then 3 days later, he arose from the dead, proving that he has power, the power of life. And he said in John 14:19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." So understanding these things, that you're a sinner, that as a sinner you owe the sin debt, that Jesus paid that debt for you, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I was 18 years old, I called upon the name of the Lord. I came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, calling upon his name, and asked him to be my Savior and to give me his gift of eternal life. And dear friend, when I asked, he, in response to my asking, did just as he promised he would do. He saved me and gave me eternal life. If you've never called upon the Lord Jesus and asked him for this free gift of salvation, I encourage you right now to bow your head and open your heart's door and let Jesus come in and ask him to be your Savior and to give you salvation and eternal life. He promised that he would, that he'd save those who call upon his name. And if you've never called, I hope that you will right now. Trust him as your Savior. Again, Liberty Baptist Church is located at 7421 Marbach Road, and we hope that you can come and visit with us. I hope to see you in church soon.